your baby boy would save our sons and daughters. Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new? This child that you delivered will soon deliver you.
Finally presents. I'm Diana White Eagle, co-producer, and the live call-in number is 323-744-4831, and we'll repeat it later. Today we're speaking about how Joseph Farley got started in this business. In fact, he's right here on the line. Joseph.
Thank you, Diane. Welcome, everybody. Gosh, it's so nice to talk to you guys. I just want to say that I started doing this. I was driving from San Diego to Seattle. I had an old Jaguar, and the only thing I could get was a Christian station. And so I was listening to a radio show, which I wanted to come up here and do it because I was so moved by it. And it was a story that kids called in and talked to people about their problems. And one, for instance, one person called in and said, I want to leave. I want to run away because my mother won't let me see my father. And, of course, the guy on the phone said, run away is never an option. Please talk to your mother and just let her know that you want to see your father and they'll have to work it out. And it was just, I was so moved by the whole story. So I got to Seattle, and I started, I actually met a guy. I was born Catholic, and I practiced religion for years. But I went to a recital, and I met this guy named Ron Zeiler. And Ron came back from Yogananda's ashram in Encinitas. And, you know, we had just lost, my mother-in-law just passed away. And it was sudden, and it took me back. I mean, I was so troubled by this that I would be up all night walking the streets and I was driving around the cemeteries. I was so troubled with this. And so I met Ron, and he said, there's no death. It's just what I need to hear. And so, of course, we became fast friends. And I talked him into doing meditation classes. And so we did that. And I learned how to meditate. And I'll tell you, it saved my life. I'm trying to get the school system to do this. And it's like pulling teeth. But I think the school system should do meditation with the kids. Anyway, so I learned how to meditate. And you know, I can't believe how it changed my life because I was working at the time as a janitor at the hospital, Whidbey Island Naval Hospital. And there was a guy who had his head down, and I was sweeping the floor, and I said to him, how are you? He said, I'm terrible. I go, what do you mean you're terrible? Oh, I'm a drunk. I'm this, I'm that. And I said, look, you don't have the pat on life. We've all been there. We've all done it. And we've all survived. Come on. I took him into one of the rooms because I got the keys. And I sat him down and I taught him how to meditate. And tears came out of his eyes. He said, "I've been waiting to do this all my life." They went back to the ward and they called me and said, "What'd you give him? What'd you say to him?" And I said, "Well, I just taught him how to do a little meditation." So he went home. I mean, he actually went home. He was there for a few months. So then another situation was I was driving after my shift. I lived in Mount Vernon then because I was going to Skagit Valley College. And I never picked people up late at night. And I had a little Camaro convertible, so it was hardly any room. But these two people were hitchhiking, so I thought, well, I'll just pick them up with lever lock. And I picked them up, and they said, "Oh, you have no idea how we need to ride." And they said, we're gonna go home and have a drink. And I said, "Come, let me show you something." Took them to my apartment, sat them down, and I taught them how to meditate. And I swear to you, the girl, the wife, I could have lit up the room with her face. She just glowed. And it took me a while to get her down because she really was there. And she said to me, "You have no idea what you've done here. We're on our way home to have a drink. Our car broke down. We're ex-alcoholics. We haven't drank for 20 years. You saved us." And of course, that continued for months. I kept on running to people and helping them. And so, you know, it's just special to be able to do that. And that's what I do.
It's like you're in the right place at the right time. What?
Are you there?
Yes. It's like you were at the right place at the right time, and these people needed you so badly.
Well, you know, we're all here for a reason. And it changes our lives, you know. We're here to help each other. I know that when we have a life review, and all of us have one, that we're asked, "What have you done for others?" And the second question we're asked is, "How much have you loved?" And the third question is forgiveness, starting with yourself. You know, ourselves are always ones to blame. And you know, but I wanted to say that, getting back to that, you know, we there's no death, and we know that. And so I've been doing this for 25 years, and I talked with Diane and I talked with many, many people who died and come back, and all of them say the same thing. Their biggest thing is when they pass away, they want the families to know that they're there. They see them at night. They listen to them. They know exactly what's going on. They see them, they hear them, and they know exactly what's going on. And so when I talked to people about this, I had a situation where, you know, I had a flower shop guy for 60 years, and I had lots and lots of funeral work. And so if I could, I would talk to them about it. And so one case, I had this woman who I bought flowers to. And, you know, you pretty much know when you can say something about death to someone and just skip it. And I knew that when I gave her the flowers and she thanked me, I knew I couldn't talk to her about death, and so I didn't. But then the next day, she called me to say, "The flowers died." And I said, "What? I haven't had flowers die in my entire life," the next day. So, of course, we redid them for her. And she had just sold her house for $1 million. And she really was upset because her son was killed in action, 19 years old. And the memorial service was the next day. And so she says, I said, "How are you?" She goes, "Well, my son's memorial service is tomorrow. I don't want to go." And I said, "Well, just so you know, he sees you. He hears you. He knows exactly what's going on with you. And he doesn't want you to do anything you don't want to do. But Mary, it's not for him, it's for you. She went, oh. So, of course, she went. And she called me back the next day, and she said, you have no idea, I need to hear that. And that's what I hear all the time from people. You know, I've done several funerals, and every time I do one, I talk to someone again about life after death and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know. What brought you into the flower business? I know you had a flower shop in Beverly Hills.
Yeah, I worked for Merv Griffin. You know, I'm from Pennsylvania, Newcastle, Pennsylvania. And here I am. I work in the business, and then I go up to L.A., and I applied for a job at the Beverly Hills Hilton. And I'll tell you, I was in my glory because I was right next to the Golden Globes, and they had the Golden Globes. And I do the flowers for the Golden Globes, the entranceway for the hotel, and all the flowers in the front desk and all that stuff. And I was a highlight of my life. And then I did Don Henley, the Eagles' wedding. And I tell people, they go, who are the Eagles? But, you know, those of us who are my age, you all know who the Eagles are. Anyway, I was able to do that, and I did flowers for Mel Gibson's party for Braveheart. And I just really, really excelled and had some phenomenal contacts in life. I'm so blessed to have what I have. The reason why I wanted a special programming today was, excuse me, it's because we're out of money, and I need some sponsorship. I really need to keep this programming up. So if you can find it in your heart, please call the station and do a pledge for me so we can keep this on the air, because we are making a difference, and I want, until the day I leave here, I'd like to be able to continue this. And when I do leave here, Diana Juanito will take over. So I want to keep this going.
Let me give you that customer service phone number for people to call in for any kind of donations or wanting to talk about anything about money or preserving this show. The customer service line is 888-710-8061. And just mention Joseph Farley's name and why you're calling, and they'll take over from there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm thrilled to do this because I know it makes a lot of difference to people. And there is no death, guys. You just don't die. You go on. And I think Diana's going to tell you guys about a couple of things that happened in heaven.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Yep. Let me know when you're ready.
Yeah, you can talk about it now.
All right. Well, it's not, you're not up there with a little harp floating on a cloud like the cartoons show you. You're actually looking your very, very best. I mean, you get up there, and all of a sudden, it's so amazingly wonderful. You'll probably go through a tunnel of light, and you'll feel like being drawn into a different area. And from what I've heard from the different people that have been there and come back, is that it's just so amazing. When you get there, you go for a life review, and it's not real long. It's like watching one of those old movies flipping in front of your face, and it shows you everything that you've done from the time you were little until that moment. And it also, I've been told, that it tells you whatever you've done to other people, and if you've hurt them, you are going to feel what you did to them. And so, you know, try to be as kind as possible.
That's pretty scary.
Yeah, there's some pretty nasty people in the world, and they're going to be in for a big surprise. But it's...
And nobody... Are we judged?
Oh, well, you are, you know, your life review. You're shown what's happened and what you've done.
You judge yourself, right?
And then, then the fact that you get to feel how the other person felt, that's pretty painful.
Yeah, sometimes. I would say that's pretty painful.
And but it goes quickly, and then all of a sudden, it depends on who comes first, who comes forward first. Sometimes it's your relatives. Sometimes if you were an atheist, you'll be very surprised because you're in this beautiful place. And it's just like, I'm going to tell you some things that you will find in heaven. And it should make you be feel really excited because there is no fear. First of all, you get along with all the animals. Nobody is trying to be mean to anybody. It's not boring. You're not up there floating around. It's the ultimate adventure. And it's like there's no fear. Animals that usually fight each other down here aren't doing that up there. They're not going to be eaten by a tiger. And it's so beautiful. The flowers are so lovely. The colors are more intense than what we see here. And the music is just so beautiful. And so all these rock bands and all your favorite people that have passed away, guess what? You get to hear them again.
Wow.
The other part is that anything that was broken, anything that was wrong with your body, it depends. If you were, an addict, and if you had broken bits about your personality, you get cocooned, and they will correct whatever's wrong with your body. And or like if you were just anything that was wrong with you, they will cocoon you and make you well so that you're absolutely perfect. And you come out about, I guess you look like you're about 35 to 40. And everybody has their perfect body. I know it sounds bizarre, but this is what I've been told, and this is what I've been told by people who have been there and come back because they weren't done yet. They were just up there being told, go tell the world about this. And let's see what else there is. You get a house. You can get any house you want. You can have more than one house. Most of the people that I do readings for some reason, if it's a man, he'll have like a cabin with a big fireplace made out of stones and a deck overlooking either the water or a forest. And you can have everything, anything you want. And people come over and visit you. And everybody is in perfect condition. I mean, there's no aches, pains, or any of that. And let's see. And me too. The other part that, and you can have, if you love boats, you can have a boat on the water. You can, anything that you like, you can get. Usually, that's another thing I wanted to talk about is work. People aren't bored up there. You actually sign up for whatever it is that's your favorite thing to do. If you were a scientist down here or like a research scientist up there, you can do the same thing if you choose. And that's where a lot of the scientists get their information. They're up there going, hey, try this one. And they'll try it. But you can, if you like children, you can be in the kindergarten area. I'm saying kindergarten just because of an age bracket, but the little children's area. You can help with that. Or if you were good with talking and enjoying people, you can be one of the tour guides. You can, they have tours up there. You go and there's this one city that I've seen because I've seen this stuff. And it's beautiful. It's got like white alabaster and that there's big steps that are white and stone of some type. I think it's some type of alabaster, but it's a beautiful area. I don't know exactly what's in the buildings because I've never been inside, but I do know that there's this beautiful city that looks like that, with everything's white and
Diane.
Yes?
A gal that we have on our show a million times.
Sharon.
Sharon. Couldn't say her name. I asked her because she, of course, Sharon wrote a book called A Song in the Wind, and she echoed everything you just said in her book.
Oh.
And one of the things I asked her was because my mother was an ear. My mother was a little tiny Italian girl, woman, and she loved food. So I said, is there food up there? And she said, just like you said, she goes, yeah, there's a, I was stumbled into a white building. I could see my reflection on the floor. And they were serving a big long buffet. And they had meats and cheeses and sandwiches and I couldn't believe what food they were serving, and they were serving champagne on silver trays. And I said, wow. I said, yeah, they're all dressed in formal wear. And she goes, there was a guy playing the piano, and there was a big, beautiful bouquet of roses spilling out on top of the piano. So, I mean...
I've seen that.
Yeah, well, that's what Sharon said, and so I know that.
I've seen that in one of my readings where we went up there, and that's exactly what we saw.
Yeah, well, as anybody who knows, Sharon Milliman, who has been on my show a dozen times, she had a couple of death experiences, but this last one, she dedicated, she wrote a book, and she dedicated to me. It's called A Song in the Wind, and what she says is, She was first of all, her husband was an electrician, and she was on the phone, one of those phones with a big long tail on it, and she was sitting on the back end of her stoop outside, and in the distance, it was thunder and lightning. So her husband got out of the car and went by her, sitting on the stoop, and she said, am I okay on this phone? Oh, yeah, no problem, he said. She goes to the house, and within 15 minutes, the lightning strikes her. Goes right to the phone, right down to her feet. And, of course, she died. She went to heaven and tells a story that about she was barefoot, and she was walking on the grass, and she said, I want you to think about the most beautiful garden you ever saw in the world and magnified it by a million. That's heaven. And like Diane said, it's all beautiful colors, and it's all beautiful flowers, and it's just breathtaking. And there's birds, and there's waterfalls, and she said, haven't seen all that. She goes, and when the wind blew, it was like a fine-tuned orchestra. Is why she named her book, A Song in the Wind.
Mm-hmm. Was
so I mean she she'll be on a show again, but it's pretty exciting because and just so you know, she is a medium, but she doesn't go after people. They come to her. And a few years ago I had gotten a house from my mother who I took care of. And I didn't want to go rent a retail place because most of the retail places have a bathroom that's 4 miles away from where you have to be. And, you know, my mother was 98 years old, so I wanted to make sure. So I rented this house, and I fixed it up, and I had her there. And it was pretty special. But my kids, they're my mother and angel. The one that you plug in, you know, and the wings move and it lights up. So when she passed away, I went into the room just to look at everything. As I walked by, the angel was lit up. It's lit up. It's like, and I don't have a plug in.
Yeah.
So I knew that my mother was there. They try and get a hold of you in so many different ways. I found a feather in my storage unit, a white feather on the floor, like a winged feather. How funny is that?
Well, that's usually someone wanting you to know they're nearby.
Yeah, I do know that.
Well,
so it's pretty.
Go ahead.
It's pretty exciting. I'm sorry. No. It's pretty exciting about all this stuff, and I want to continue doing it because it makes people understand that there's no death. And also, I don't know how many of you have seen the movie. excuse me, I have COPD, of course, and asbestos in my lungs, so I have a little trouble here, but I know that there was a movie, Heaven is for Real. I don't know how many of you have seen it, but if you haven't seen it, please go and see it. It's a wonderful movie. It's online. It's about a pastor and his child and his children. And in there, he goes to heaven, and he's playing in the kitchen, and his mother's washing dishes. And he said to her, I play with my sister in heaven. I play with my sister. And so she goes, yeah, well, you have a room with her. That's good. No, not that sister. What sister are you talking about? The one that died in your tummy. Of course, she went, what? What was her name? He goes, you didn't name her. But I play with her, mother says, what do you look like? What she look like? And she says, she's like you. She's got same light hair. And she's a little older than me. So those of you who know, I remember Sharon saying her life review, there was who she thought was two angels standing next to her, big 6 foot, handsome, with robes on. And he turned around and he said to Sharon, don't you recognize us? And Sharon says, well, kind of. And he said, well, we're your brothers. And her brothers were killed in a plane in a crash at 5 years old, and here they are now grown up. So, yeah, you grew up in heaven. Go ahead, Diane.
Oh, okay. Let me see what else you grew up in heaven. I would like to say a couple of things of where I've done readings and visited people on the other side. Sometimes they come to me, and sometimes I don't know. They show me where they are. And as I think Sharon mentioned at one time, I was at one of the people wanted to visit their cousin. And their cousin was at this big party. They had long evening gowns on, and there were people walking around with trays. It was like in the movies of they were having those tuxedos, and they're walking around, and people were talking and dancing, and there was music. But I remember the one part that I got to see was there were arches. There was some kind of balcony.
Yeah, exactly.
With arches.
They're all, yes. That's what they said.
Yeah, it was really interesting. And people were walking by with trays, like in the movies, with cocktails and champagne and soft drinks, and I felt like I was watching a movie, their life.
They say that heaven looks like Rome, with all the beautiful buildings and the pillars, and only they're all white alabaster and white marble. I just wanted to say about Sharon, when I had this house and my mother passed away, I rented this to some gal in Colorado, and she was a beautiful girl, and she was so happy. I just said, here, here's the keys. Move in. Keep our suitcases, and she was there. And I got her a job, and she was so happy. And I said, call your mother and have her come there for Christmas. I gave her a tree, and she was just beside herself. So I went there about a week. She was there for about 3 months. About a week after the rent was due, and I knocked on the door, and her car was there. And I saw I had a white sofa, and the dog was on the sofa, and she never allowed the dog on the sofa. And I thought, oh. And she didn't answer the door, so I let myself in. And I found her with a plastic bag over her head. And I called 911. Yeah. And a note that said, do not resuscitate me. So it wasn't until maybe a couple days later Sharon called me up. She goes, she showed up here and she told me she was raped and murdered and she left you a note on the top drawer. So my daughter, of course, cleaned up everything after they removed her remains. And so we found the note. It says, I've been forced. So, of course, she named names and she did the whole thing. So that's where she was coming from. As I said, she never did stuff. You know, you couldn't call her up and say, what do you see? She saw it herself, and she called me.
Mhm. Because she would get visions about things. She still does.
Yeah, I know that you had some. When you did some readings, you had some people who showed you their closet, if I remember.
Yeah. Well, I can tell you about this one incident from. It was when I first started doing it about 25 years ago. I was at the psychic fair in Reno, Nevada, and a mother came in over to my table, and her son had been killed. I think he was about 8 years old. He had been riding his bicycle, and he rode down the driveway and didn't see a car, and the car hit him and killed him. And she had said it happened 3 months before. And I remember looking at her thinking, oh, my goodness, she's so composed. I would be just frantic. And the little boy showed up, and he was so polite. And he was saying, thank you, and that he loved his mother. He's so sorry that he, you know, is making her feel bad, but he's good. And later that night, I was in a hotel, and I got a picture. I heard him standing at the foot of my bed, and it scared me because I know when somebody's standing there, you know, if you call out, who are you? What do you want? You might get an answer, and because I knew it was from the spirit world. And it was him, and he just said, I want to tell you thank you so much for letting me talk to my mother. And that's when I knew, oh, this stuff is real. Because I kept thinking, I don't know where I'm getting it all.
See, Diane, this is why we do this. This is why we need to keep this programming going. Because we've touched, I and you both have touched so many lives because, you know, I mean, when I hear of a death, my heart just goes out to them. And
yes.
Especially when they grieve. And I've read notes from people who say, and I know I've been there, until I learned how to do this. And thank God I learned this because my mother passed away, and you've seen my mother, and you know how young she is now and how beautiful. And so, so we should have some callers calling in.
Yes, pretty soon. Well, I want to tell a couple more stories about what I've experienced. They can be, the your loved ones can be very pushy. I was on my way. I used to just have an office in Harris that I would, out of Lake Tahoe that I used to be. And I was on my way to an appointment, and I had this voice right behind my head going, "Hurry up, hurry up." And I'm going, "What is going on? I don't, no one ever bothers me like that." And I said, "Who is this?" And she says, "This is Rose. Hurry up." And I thought, "Oh my goodness, we've got a pushy one here." Because this, like I say, never happens to me. So I got into my office, and my first appointment was this woman. And she said, "I want to speak to my mother." And I said, "Is her name Rose?" And she goes, "Yes, it is." I said, "Well, she's been with me for the last 15 minutes. She's so excited to see you, but she's very pushy." And she said, "Yes, she was. She was very pushy." But the other one that I find is really important is three women came in. They wanted to speak to their father, and their father was an atheist. And he didn't believe in anything after you died. And if they ever brought anything up as girls, he would spank them with a belt. And
wow.
It was just very traumatic to them. But they were in there saying, "Can you contact my father or our father?" And sure enough, he showed up and he goes, "I am so sorry. I am so sorry I did that to you." He was shocked that that there was an afterlife. And so whether you believe or not, when you're down here, you get up there and there's an afterlife. But he was like, I could see tears coming down his face. He was so sorry that he had been so mean to them about heaven or any kind of thing that somebody might have talked about, like life after death.
Maria had the same experience with somebody. She took my show for me one weekend when I had appointments. And go ahead and take that, Diane.
Hello.
I'm here, Diana.
Hi, Judith. What can I do for you today?
Well, should I ask questions? I want to know how my mother feels now that she knows that I resent her.
Was she a small woman with dark hair?
No, my mother's whole family is. My father's family was dark hair and like sort of medium skin. My mother's family is all light hair, light skin, and light eyes.
Okay, well, there's somebody with dark hair here that's a woman also. But tell me your question again for your mother.
And my mother's family is always, they were all blonde with very light skin. And mm-hmm. The question is, I want to know if she understands that I really feel terrible that I had such a terrible mother that was adversarial instead of a mother that really loved me.
Okay, I've got her.
It took me a lot of years to get here.
Well, you're not. I don't know if you're going to like this answer, but what I'm getting is that I don't know what you believe, but if we have previous lives, you two were together before, and you were the naughty one and the last one, and so she was like a retaliation in this one, even though it was so painful, because it was very painful for you. I see your father loved you dearly, which is a good reason that you're a normal person today, but She had a lot of resentment, but it was from a previous life when the world was reversed. And
I understand that she was resentful, because I don't think she came from an era where she couldn't fulfill what she really wanted to do in this life.
Yeah.
But, you know what I mean?
She was not real nice to you.
No, she wasn't. And I did everything nice for her. It took me years to figure out that she was my adversary, not my mother.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it was even
one of the things she says, because she says she's very sorry that you had to experience her nastiness, but she says scores even now. That's what I hear. Scores even.
I'm not ready to talk to her ever. I hope she finds someone else to take care of. I don't really like her.
Well, but you don't have to deal. you don't have to deal with her anymore. I mean, when you cross over and get into heaven, you don't have to see her. It's your prerogative. You can see whoever you want, but she doesn't appear to be on your list of people you want
to see. No, she's not on my list. My father, yes. My father, definitely. I thought I had someone that lived. My mother's family loved me also.
Yes, yes. Your mother had a vendetta.
I don't know, but would it have held me back to any of the things I could have accomplished in this life?
No, you actually rose above and accomplished what you were supposed to accomplish. She tried to hold you back, but you were victorious and you did do what you were supposed to do. You're not done yet, though.
You know what? I'm really not, but if I can't get this, my lung disease totally cleared, I'm not interested. Because I have really hard to. I'm going to try to do physical therapy for lung therapy to make me breathe better. But you know what? I am not going to live another 10 years when the weather gets bad like this summer in New York City. I don't want to be around.
Well, there's other places really that are going to be even better when you decide to cross over. Actually, it's not our choice, but happy.
I'm not going to live another 10 years. I don't believe I'm here for 10 more years.
Well,
to me, well, Stuart. My mother didn't want me to marry Stuart, by the way.
You were young.
Stuart is my mother didn't want me to marry my first husband.
Yeah, you were young.
Yeah, but she didn't want me to do it.
Because you would have been happy.
Me?
Of course not. She didn't want you to be happy.
Well, I've had some pretty strange pieces to my life. Sometimes I wasn't so happy. But, you know, it's whatever. I'm not complaining. I'm here. I'm going to hopefully get to accomplish more things, and I'm hopefully going to have another love in my life before it's over.
Yes, you are. You're going to have another love in your life. It's coming up. So
it's going to be this.
Make sure you do your nails and have your hair nice, and don't forget to laugh.
I have to tell you, I was going to try and help somebody get a job in the world of graphic art, and I forgot that he's Muslim, but he was, I forgot which car, I think he's from Lebanon. He's my hairdresser's boyfriend. And I was talking to this guy, Jared, who's very pro-Israel. And I forgot, he's pro-Palestinian. He's not going to help him. I got to call him back Monday and tell him, I'm sorry, I can't help you because some of the people are very strong about, they're against pro-Palestinians. Can I say that?
No, I wouldn't. I wouldn't. Should
I just tell him to get his resume rewritten and we'll try again another time because the position is closed?
Yes.
But anyway, my father, he seemed like he was never really instrumental.
Just say thank you for your
okay,
call.
You want to do whatever? Are you going to do readings?
Pardon?
Are you going to do readings at all?
Yes, I am. Actually, I'm actually just going to talk. People today.
Say that again.
If you want a reading, I can give you a phone number to call me. Okay. Well, before the end of the program, I'll give a phone number out. What we just did was a part of a reading.
Oh. I'm not okay. Whatever. I didn't know. The guy said that. I heard Joseph say that. Something to do about it, ready to ask questions, so I dialed a different number.
I don't know about that. I have no idea.
Very confusing. Anyway, thank you for answering my questions. I'm going to listen anyway.
Well, good. Good. And enjoy the rest of the program. Thank you for calling.
Okay.
Okay, bye-bye. Hello? Anybody there? What else would you like to say, Joseph? I know you've got lots of things that you want
well,
to
say. Well, there's another talk to them.
I have another one?
Yeah.
Oh, who is it?
there are no other callers.
Oh, that's okay. What I thought. Okay. Yeah, we're good.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought I heard that.
Yeah, thank
anyway,
you very much,
well,
Judith, calling. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was going to say that we have so much to do to make things right with people. You know, we have to watch what we say and know that every day's a blessing. That be kind, you know, be kind to people because you never know where they come from. You never know what type of day they had. One of the things that I did was on the way from Seattle, or to Seattle, as I said, I heard this program about kids, and I was so moved by that. I wanted to come home and do a show on my kids, and we did that for a long time. I called it, so what about the children? And one of the situations was where suicides, I can't believe, the young man who commits suicides. And I had this, well, they weren't even on my show. They were husband and wife. They were both psychotherapists. And they had a son who was just probably 15. And they had dinner, and he said goodnight, and they found him hanging from the closet the next morning. Not a clue what was going on with him. So, you know, just so you know, you got to really have the children trust you enough to talk to them about different things, because it's really difficult to be a teenager. So with all the crap that's going on and all the stuff that you see on the air and the social media stuff, and, you know, unfortunately, the old days where I was raised, we didn't have all that, and we didn't have any suicides, or at least not as many we have now. So what happens when you commit suicide, Dan?
What happens when you commit suicide?
Yeah.
Well, you still go to heaven, but you get fixed. As I say, there's this area where you get to, you know, it depends on what was wrong with you. And you get
fixed, huh?
You get fixed so that you're able to feel love, because a lot of these people are just absolutely feeling like there's no love in the world anymore. There's
yeah.
no hope for them. Maybe they've got some disease that they didn't know how to deal with, like Robin Williams. He left because he couldn't be who he was anymore. But he's up there being
yeah.
funny, I'm going to tell you.
Oh, I know. You know, when I was working with kids, I had many parents that I think I had like, there's an echo. I don't know why. Do you hear the echo?
No.
Okay, good. When I was working with kids, I had a lot of great kids. And you know, I'm always been a champion for kids. I had a situation where, I don't know how much time we have left.
Well, we have
but, you know, I had a situation where I was working with the school system, working as a probation officer, and I'm correcting papers. I'm on the floor correcting papers, and I hear a knock at the door, and there's four kids. One of the kids who I was working with on a daily basis, the other were friends. Excuse me. And so I said, what are you guys doing here this late night? Oh, we just went to a dance, and we walked through a barn, and as we got to the barn, we pulled a piece of string out of a baler, and the guy, retired sheriff, gave us, you know, the dickens, and he said, you can't be in here. You can't You broke this, Baylor. I'm going to talk to your parents tomorrow. So, of course, they came to see me. And I said, I will meet me in the morning, and I will take each one of you, and we'll go see the parents. And at the time, I was working for the county court services. They didn't call it probation. Mm-hmm. And so I get to the house. I say, you stay here, and let me go talk to your parents. And so the girl came with me, and our guy and girl. It was one girl and three guys, I think it was. And so I said, hi, I'm Joseph from County Court Services. And the response was, Jesus Christ, what'd he do now? And I said, can I talk to your parents alone? And I really gave them hell. I said, first of all, you didn't even hear what I had to say. No wonder he's the way he is. I said, so, you know, if you're trying to get your kid to do stuff you want him to do, they're going about way different. And so we had a conversation. And each parent, you know, they always say kids run around with the same kind of kids. And they always have the same kind of parents. Not all parents are like this, certainly. But these poor parents said the same thing, word for word. And so I said, let's have a meeting once a month, and let's talk about our parents. And then, you know what? I'm going to call the kids and have them talk about you guys. And we did that. And it was very special because it wasn't always the kids' fault, you know. Anyway, so Diane, do you want to just close up?
Yes. Thank you, anyone and everyone who was listening. And thank you, Judith, for calling in. We did appreciate you. This concludes our program for tonight. We will be back every other Sunday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. Or if it's a change, we will let you know. So thank you to everyone who's listening.
Thank you, Diana, for joining us.
Yeah. And so there you go. This is Joseph Farley Presents, and thank you for listening.
Bye now.
Did you know that your baby boy would one day walk on water?
Mary, did you know that your baby boy would save our sons and daughters?
Did you know that your baby boy has come to make you new?
This child that you